Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now for her weekly visit during the month of July, Jen Chung, editor of the website Gothamist, which covers news and life in New York City. And what could be more of an old-fashioned New York emergency than a steam pipe explosion near Grand Central Terminal? Terminal might as well have been 1937. Gothamist is all over it with photos, information about the city's infrastructure. Someone even posted a video of the explosion in progress at Gothamist.com. So we'll talk about that. Also, yesterday's torrential rains that also caused subway problems and the epidemic of Harry Mania now beginning to grip Gotham. Gothamist founder and editor Jen Chung. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Let's acknowledge the obvious. When the steam pipe exploded, people thought it might be a terrorist attack. So a steam pipe isn't just a steam pipe anymore, don't you think?
No, not at all. I mean, there are cases where manholes explode and, you know, might hit buildings or cars, but nothing to this magnitude. And the last steam pipe explosion, as you mentioned before, was in 1989. So this was very unexpected, especially in an area that's so heavily trafficked by commuters and workers.
Your site links to an actual video that someone posted of the explosion in progress, including the comments of the person with the camera who could hardly believe it. Where'd you get that?
The reader, Nick Parrish, actually emailed it to me, and he also sent me photographs that he had taken on the scene. And what's incredible is that people start to hear news that it was a fire, and even though, of course, the city is telling everyone not to go to the area right now, people were very curious and went there and posted a lot of photographs, and we use them in our posts.
I was actually surprised that the guy was just standing there holding the camera instead of running away. Maybe he already knew it was contained, I don't know. But looking at that billowing smoke in the video, it did remind me of 9/11, when, of course, the smoke and debris were thrust out for blocks and blocks and engulfed people. And I thought, gee, that guy seems to feel secure about his own safety.
Well, there are tons of pictures of people standing on corners using their camera phones to take pictures. I think probably once they were a couple blocks away from the explosion area, they felt better, and especially when you see police and firefighters there, definitely reassures people. But, I mean, what's also incredibly eerie is seeing all the images of people with, like, clay and just, you know, dirty emerging from that center, and that was also very reminiscent of September 11th.
We had infrastructure expert Kate Asher on before. You heard that. But did you learn more than you ever wanted to know in the last day about our steam system?
Well, actually, it's fascinating, and Kate Asher's book, The Works, is absolutely wonderful, and it was the first thing I actually turned to when I heard that there was a steam pipe explosion, so I really recommend it to all of your listeners. It's actually, I think, really important to know about because, you know, the media, I think, really jumped to a lot of conclusions and, you know, I think at times would invoke the word September 11th and terror attack a lot. And there are simply issues with the city's aging infrastructure that can cause some tragedies and incidents. But, you know, it sort of makes you realize that there are people doing a lot to make sure that the city keeps going.
Is this a particularly urban infrastructure? Do you know if there are steam pipes where you grew up in suburban New Jersey?
I don't think so. I don't think it was necessitated to reach those parts. And it's absolutely fascinating to learn how many businesses and institutions rely on steam heat still.
One of the, out of the steam and into the water, your lead post as of about an hour ago is headlined, "Stretch of 2 foot deep water caused some of yesterday's subway issues." What is that water?
Well, yesterday there was that, you know, huge rainstorm that, you know, an actual tornado touched down in Long Island, of all places, and about 600 feet of a subway station in Queens had 2 feet of water. And so the subway system on a daily basis during a normal dry day pumps out 13 million gallons of water. So on a day when the rain's coming down really fast, it takes a lot for the pumps and the drains to keep up. So there are these delays, and I think people are becoming more and more used to them. Not that they are happy with them, but, you know, they're common.
You have a photo. You mentioned a subway station in Queens. You have a photo on the site. Great shot of the Steinway Street Station, which looks like a mountain stream with water cascading down the rocks, except it's water cascading down the subway steps.
Unfortunately, it's a really common sight along some subway stations. I think like every time there's a big rainstorm, we see at least a few of these, whether it's in the Bronx or Brooklyn or Queens or Manhattan.
Really? So that yesterday was unique, and this happens even in less intense heavy rainstorms.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's been at a subway station where they see puddles, and sometimes when the rain comes down, there are certain ways that you have to navigate using hops and jumps. And, you know, if the rain is maybe even at the 2-inch level over a short period of time, you see the effects.
Jen Chung, editor of the website Gothamist, which watches life and the news in New York City. Changing directions completely, Jen. A couple of weeks ago, you told us about how you live blogged the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July. Have you live blogged anything since?
Well, yesterday's coverage of the steam pipe explosion, as soon as we heard that there were initial reports of either a transformer or a manhole explosion, starting around 6 o'clock, we covered it until the mayor's press conference around 8:30. And all of our readers were sending us tips and insights and reminding us of other incidents, such as the 1989 Gramercy Park steam explosion, and sending us photos and videos. And by posting the information on the website and having our commenters post their thoughts, a lot of people are getting their information that way.
If this hasn't happened between 1989 and 2007, then it's not the biggest risk we should be worrying about, I guess.
I guess not. I hope not. But I think a lot of people will be keeping an eye out for those areas where they see those steam vents and big grates and lots of Con Ed trucks.
There was some kind of lawsuit in the 90s, wasn't there?
Well, after the 1989 Gramercy Park steam pipe explosion, apparently Con Ed did not fully disclose the level of asbestos that had been released into the air, and the Department of Justice sued them, and Con Ed pled guilty and had to pay a fine.
Now, that's really interesting, because today we're in a somewhat ambiguous situation of knowing that there was asbestos in the materials that exploded, the insulation around this old cast iron pipe, but the city telling us that there were no asbestos positive samples in the air samples that were taken. But I'm sure a lot of people still don't trust it.
Yeah, I think many people are skeptical, and especially with, again, another reference to September 11th, with sort of conflicting reports about the level of contamination around Ground Zero. I think people are going to want to know that the DEP continues to check the air, continues to check the level of asbestos in debris, and, you know, be able to give the public updates about what they should be concerned with.
What have you learned about what they're saying about how people should protect themselves from this asbestos-laden dust and debris that is still around the area?
Well, the assistant deputy health commissioner said that you should put all of your clothes, if you were if some of the clay and debris had rained upon you, put them into a plastic bag and simply just wash with soap and water. You know, use normal hygiene precautions to get rid of the asbestos, and, you know, recirculate the air in your apartment. Don't necessarily draw air into your apartment or office building if you are in that frozen zone where the explosion took place.
And we should mention that Lexington Avenue is still closed from about, I think it's 39th Street to 57th, 3rd Avenue, and a lot of that area. People are still asking residents and businesses in that area not to use non-essential power. We've just got about 2 minutes left, and I want to change the subject and ask you if you're going to live blog The Line at your nearest bookstore Friday night.
Well, I actually hope to be there, so I definitely will, and I will be visiting the Scholastic Harry Potter place tomorrow night around 5 o'clock. The publisher of Harry Potter is going to open up Mercer Street between Prince and Spring Street in Soho to Harry Potter fans, and they have like a Whomping Willow. They have places where you can take pictures and exchange notes, and there are going to be like magicians and jugglers and all sorts of fun.
Yeah, you posted something about this Harry Potter party. So are people supposed to come and dress up and stuff?
I definitely think it's encouraged, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of little Harrys and Hermiones and Ron Weasleys down there.
Shouldn't the kids be home reading, or this is before the release?
This is before the release, so they're getting, you know, geared up. It's like the pregame, the tailgate. And at 12:01, all the bookstores will be selling Harry Potter, although apparently a few in the city have been selling them. That's how the New York Times reviewer Michiko Kakutani got her copy.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're selling them like they're out on the shelves and anybody could walk in. I remember when the George Tenet book came out not long ago, and the Times got an advance copy the same way, a copy obtained by a reporter from a bookstore. But I think it's probably because the reporter in that case, the Times reviewer in this case, had some connections at the bookstore. That's what I would guess. You know, we have already caved in our home to the notion of buying two copies of this Harry Potter book this weekend, so each of our kids can read at the same time, and then we'll donate one to their school. I imagine we're not the only ones who are going to go through that decision.
And well, fantastic.
And I gather that the book has closure, though I do not know yet what it is, but unlike The Sopranos, there is nothing postmodern about how Harry Potter ends.
There's no Journey soundtrack, Chip, at the end of the book, luckily. So I think everyone will get an ending that hopefully they'll be satisfied with.
Right, without giving anything away, because I don't know anything to give away anyway, but I did read that it is an ending, and then there's even an epilogue that lays out in great old-fashioned Dickensian, I think the Times called it, detail, what happens in the future of each of the major characters.
Well, J.K. Rowling, the author, has been very clear about wanting to make sure her readers get what they want in terms of closure. So I think that's a good thing, and I'm looking forward to that, too.
All right. Jen Chung, editor of Gothamist at Gothamist.com. And you will be back next Thursday your next July with Jen visit. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Great. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.